Why don't you start by just introducing yourself so we know who we're talking to today?
Sure. My name's Todd Held. I'm the GIS analyst for the city of Punta Gorda. I've been there about 5 years. Prior to that, I was worked for a civil engineering firm in town, Weiler Engineering, as a project manager and also their GIS manager. And that's me.
Hi, I'm Brad Schutte. I'm the IT manager for the city. I've been with the city just under 9 years now. We've been working really hard on our GIS, trying to get it from a scattered group of users to an enterprise system that providing benefit for everybody. And we've made some really good strides, and what we did after the storm this past year it really helped us get over some humps, especially culturally, that allowed us to really put GIS on the map, so to speak, and really get things going for our enterprise.
Okay, so you guys are presenting here at the ESRI conference this year. Why don't you just tell me a little bit about what you're presenting and then what the big project is?
Sure. Can we start? Our presentation is called Digi123 It. This is something that came out of Hurricane Ian. About 2 weeks before Ian started, we had a hurricane drill, and we responded to that. We planned for it, and not knowing that 2 weeks later, we were going to actually have a real live hurricane and much stronger than what we planned for. So out of that exercise came some things that we needed to work on. We needed to get some accounts set up for Survey123. We needed to build some forms. We needed to basically get the fire department, all the firefighters, up and running with this tool. And that's what we did. And basically what came out of it was a complete success in terms of data collection of damage inventory, preliminary damage assessment for the city with the first in team, which was fire, police, and public works, some of the heavy equipment. But including CAD dispatchers, they were actually collecting information as they were getting calls in the emergency operations center. And we collected about 6,000 data points throughout of all different types of assets, from access blocked, road closures, to power lines down, seawall failures, buildings destroyed or buildings damaged. All that information was collected, debris to be removed, was collected by this first in team and then sent up to the EOC through Survey123 so that it could be reviewed and shared with the county, with other resources there in the EOC, and with our county or city leadership, so that we could direct assets and resources to where it needed to be most effective at the time.
The tool was built practically in the EOC while we were waiting for the storm to come through and as it was coming through, and then the plans for deployment, and we were able to get a lot of the all of that preliminary work done, so that as soon as we got the all clear after the storm, he was training solid groups of teams that were heading right out into the field with the devices ready to go and gather data. So what in Irma had taken us a week, maybe a week and a half, to gather all the information and get it and weed out duplication of data because it was a paper system, we accomplished in a day and a half. The first in team piece, a day and a half,
first couple days
after a category four. Irma really didn't hit us solid. We kind of caught the edge of it, so there was damage, but we learned a lot from that, and we were able to respond to this. We had our data to FEMA before other municipalities in the area had even gotten their data into computers.
Gotcha. So why was it called Survey123?
123. Did you 123 it? The fire department, the firefighters coined that phrase because they would come back in. And I was right there in the public safety complex. We were both in EOC together. They'd come in and they'd be telling each other, "Hey, did you 123 that? Hey, did you see this downed tree?"
Survey123 is the ESRI tool that we use to build the surveys. It's got a really sophisticated survey methodology that you can build no code on the fly, and so that's the tool that we use. used it. It just became the buzzword for.
Did you guys? Did you one, two, three? Did you log the information?
Yeah.
Because, like a tablet kind of.
It's basically it looks.
They were on tablets or on smartphones. They were able to go right out into the field, and that was, like I said, the other thing being able just, not to have duplication of data. Right. You know, the data that came in, once it was in there, the next guy along could look and see live, oh, somebody's already logged that one. I can drive past it and, you know, and go to the next thing.
Got it.
Instead of having to log it, and then the next guy logs it, and then the next guy logs it, and then three teams get dispatched to go to it, and they stomp on each other, and plus it's just a waste of resources in that crucial time right after.
So this solved
that problem.
The radio traffic, it eliminated a lot of radio traffic of things that didn't need to be taken up bandwidth on the radio. Just six questions on the form. You know, the location was automatic wherever they were at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The time date stamp was automatic. We knew which firefighter collected it because each had an account and they were signed into the account, so we could go back and get more information from them. And then just the severity of the damage: is it access blocked? Is it partially blocked? Is there severe damage? Totally destroyed? And then what are the resources required? Initially, what is your best assessment of what resource required? Large debris is a tree that heavy equipment needed. Small debris, maybe chainsaws and a couple guys to haul it out of the way. FPL line clearing, that was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need the FPL truck to come in with the firefighter, de-energize that line, or move it out of the way? Gas line issues. Road repairs, seawall repairs. So you would just basically say, this is all the things I saw at that particular location. So then back in the EOC, the leadership, the public works director, the emergency response coordinator, the fire chief, the police chief, city manager could all go, okay, we need to divert these resources to this problem because this is critical.
Yeah, they were able to prioritize.
Prioritize quickly. And then the photos, it would attach a photo too. So we had a photo of every damage point. So all that was being collected, and it was very kind of resilient system because the way that tool works is you can collect, it requires internet or some kind of Wi-Fi connection to transmit the data, but you can keep collecting even when you don't have the data, the bandwidth. So you don't have an internet connection, you just keep collecting. When you get back to the Wi-Fi, it sends it up to the cloud, and then it's available immediately to the EOC. So it's a great communication tool. Just collect information, get it to be analyzed, and get it to the right people to analyze it.
Yes, so it became the sole source for information, rather than there being five or six different collections of data for debris or for things that needed to be hauled away or for immediate response. It was all right there in one place, which was also valuable to our PIO and our city manager, because they're being inundated with questions from city council and from other citizens. And instead of having to go to somebody else and say, okay, what's the scoop on this, or what's the latest data, they had the ability to go in as well and look. And so they had a live feed of what the status of debris hauling was. You know, day 5, 6, 7 after the storm, when they knew how much debris there was, it was calculating how fast, how many trucks did we need, how many. We worked with FPL. FPL integrated their GIS data with our system.
Okay.
So now we had their pole information and everything, so we could assign FPL to when they told us somebody was coming into work on this ticket, we knew right where they were going to be. We could have somebody there to help them. We could have somebody prep the area and again, it just sped up that response. But everybody using this as a sole source of information made sure that everybody was working on the same page.
So I guess two separate questions, but how much customization do you have to do from getting this to making it fit into your system? And then how does it go from here into like the computers that were at the office
at the EOC
or whatever?
So the form, it's a configurable application. So there wasn't any like custom development.
Mm-hmm.
The Survey 123 is basically an Excel XML LMS form that you can configure it based on certain categories of fields and things. So configuration, no customization, but configuring it to be the form that I just showed you there.
Okay, how long did that take?
Yeah, probably, I mean, to actually build the form, maybe a couple hours. What took some time is figuring out what we needed to have on the form. Mm-hmm. That probably took a day or two, you know, of just working back and forth and, hey, this is the resources we need to track.
That was some of what we had from our exercise. We had narrowed it down, but hadn't refined it. So that refining process was part of the time. The development of the forms is relatively quick, and the ability to add a field or adapt a question path, because you can set it up that if they answer yes on this question, ask these five questions. If they say no, go down to this question. So they didn't have to go through a form and say not applicable, not applicable, not applicable.
So that gets done ahead of time.
So it trimmed the form down to fit just what there was based on their responses. And then that data is put into a database that we can then load right in.
So that goes in the ESRI geodatabase. Well, in our case, it's ArcGIS Online, which is a hosted feature service. And that can be pulled into the EOC system, the county system, as we just made it available in our collaboration on ArcGIS Online. So it was still secure because we had a lot of buildings. Each one of these blue dots is a number of buildings that were damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So if you click on one of those, you start drilling down into the actual points. Keep going, zooming in farther, and they'll start showing the actual individual buildings or locations that were damaged. I got that's a light. That's going to be probably a sidewalk or something, another light.
And then they adapted this system later on capture submerged debris in our canals and to track trees and boats.
So the sharing of the information is pretty much automatic because of the way ArcGIS Online is built to serve to share data. It's a standard format. We publish a web map. And we just determine, okay, do we want it to be a public web map or do we want to share it with certain groups? And we had a collaboration with the county so we could share it with all the county all the county agencies, county departments. And we, of course, shared it with our own departments. But because it had so much, you know, almost personal identifiable information with buildings and pictures of people's houses destroyed and they're out of town, you know, the city leadership decided not to make that public. But all the information is available to all the agencies that are responding.
Okay.
And you know, the corporations like Verizon were hugely helpful with us by bringing in portable wireless and trying to get the Wi-Fi network up as quickly as possible, cellular network.
Right. Yeah.
And Esri was amazing to be able to roll this out to the number of people we did. We didn't have licensing to be able to do that. We made two calls to Esri and told them exactly what we needed, and bam, it was there. And they helped us with questions on building the surveys out, transferring
the
data,
ESRI helped us build the dashboard. Because I was busy doing the surveys and trying to get everybody trained on the surveys.
Sure.
Eight consultants came in from building department to do the building inspections. You know, they never used the system before, so we had to sit down and train them in the fire station. It was kind of hectic and chaotic.
But flexibility of the tool, it settled right in. And Todd did an amazing job getting it out there to the people. They did an amazing job by absorbing it as quickly as they did. And it, like he said, it became part of the culture, the disaster response culture.
Mm-hmm.
They were checking each other. Did you know, somebody drove in saying, yeah, I drove past the three power lines that were down. And the first question out of their mouth was, did you 1-2-3? Is it in the database? Is it here? Because if it isn't here, it hasn't happened.
Gotcha. Yeah, it moved.
That was really cool.
It's moved like a lot of the smartphone. It's moved them forward and just using their smartphones because, you know, they really weren't using them for much.
Right.
Now we're talking about using it as part of the daily workflow. So, like, we train now every year with it.
Yeah.
But we're also talking about pulling it in so that they can grab a point if they see, like, a hydrant that's damaged. Well, just shoot it. You're out there. Well, go ahead and take the point. It doesn't take you much time to do it.
Right.
And then that can go to Public Works. So the Public Works knows about it because a lot of times the fire and the police, they're the first ones to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody runs, an accident hits a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
Right? They're the first ones to know about it, and they can send it back.
The other thing, I mean, it's hard to say that good things come out of a disaster like Ian was, but one of the things that did come out to for us that was good is at that exercise 2 weeks prior, they all said, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Let us think about it. We don't know whether we want to deploy that kind of device or not. We don't know whether they would learn it. They're just firefighters or whatever. The disaster hit. This rolled out. It was so successful that cultural wall that had been there was obliterated. And so now, anytime something comes along, our canal maintenance for the city of Punta Gorda is sort of unique. I think we're the only... There's two cities in the United States that manage their seawalls as a special district rather than people being responsible for their own. So we own all the seawalls in the city.
About 110 miles.
Yeah, there was extensive damage on the seawalls from the storm. And they're now, the contract that we wrote with the vendor that's going to come in and do our seawall repair, part of the contract is that they use Survey 123 to gather the data, report the data, and analyze the data in a form that
they use our form, but they use it so we get all the data in an analyzable way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's become that, part of that culture now is that this is where everything comes through. There is no more paper. No, there's probably some, but we're working our way to where there will be no more paper gathering of any kind of information because of this ability to funnel it and to analyze it and to distribute it and combine it with other data. It's a no-brainer. And the leadership of those departments that were originally, it might cost me some money or it might, they're all saying, give it to me. We added, I'd say, 15% to our number of cell phones because of people that came back to us right after the storm and said, this group needs cell phones and this group needs cell phones.
They need to collect their information for their
smartphones.
Damage.
They had all been on flip phones because they don't need anything else. Now they want them on smartphones to be able to do this kind of data gathering. And we're finding new things. Our sidewalk maintenance, we're doing sidewalk maintenance, sign maintenance, trees, parks, information about parks. There's just so much information that now is finding this path into all of the departments. And the
cultural part down at the field level and their immediate supervisor, not trying to not... let them not use this tool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're all going, now it's all like, hey, the firefighters can use it.
Yeah.
Why can't we use it?
Exactly.
What's wrong with us?
They train fire.
Everybody's going to be using it.
So how many people, is it the entire fire department staff? Is it just
35.
Them? About how many people, give or take, were out collecting all this?
Give or take, I'd say probably about 60 total.
Okay.
35 mm-hmm. from the fire department, then... about 10, 15 from the Public Works Department. So
okay.
That's 50, and then about, urban design, our planning department had a few. Building department had
six.
Yeah, so.
It's probably close to 70.
Yeah, 60 to 70. We had 50 licenses for this level that we needed, ArcGIS Online licenses,
mm-hmm.
when we started. And then we added, basically, like Brad said, actually ESRI reached out to us when we were in the cone. Said,
mm-hmm.
"We're emergency response ESRI. We're on, so reaching out to let you know, let us know if you need anything." I called and said, "We're going to need
mm-hmm.
more licenses right away because I got to get those set up ahead of time."
Right.
And the storm's coming, and then can't do the training until you got the, because half the training is making sure that the app is downloaded, installed, working, firewalls, all that stuff is that they understand how to install the app.
Right.
And sign into it. That's like half of the training with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got all that worked out. And then, I said, well, can you help us build the dashboard? Because I'm busy trying to get everybody using the
mm-hmm.
tool. And so they said, yeah, we'll do the dashboard for you. What do you want? And I told them.
And we were all busy. The rest of IT was busy with other things. So Todd was a one-man show on the GIS side. And
training dispatchers too. We trained
everybody.
The dispatchers in the EOC.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting calls that were, during the storm. So we all go into the EOC and all the city and response resources are protected during the storm itself. there's a period of time where we kind of see everything shuts down where, mm-hmm. hey, you call, you had a heart attack in your house. Well, nobody's going to come to you until it's all clear and the storm's passed because it's just getting more people in danger and losing the resource. And so so they were, dispatchers were, okay. And I just like went in there, sat with each dispatcher individually for about 15 minutes and said, this tool is, here's how you use it. And they were doing it. So by the time the storm ended, we had a couple of hundred reports already of these are places, you know, there's some that were like real emergencies and there's some were like, hey, I just looked out the window and a tree fell on the road in front of my house. So we knew that there's, there's got to be, you know, an asset sent over there to help remove that tree right away. It just, it helped a lot.
Yeah, the other feature that we made that helped it, we set up a QR code that led to the site that they had to set their logins up on. And so they could just walk past that with the phone and they were off. He didn't have to walk one by one through that piece. They got that piece down, had the rest of the instructions on it. So they would come to him, account already set up, already logged in, ready to learn how to work the system, not having to sit down with him and get their account set up and do all of that. So there was QR codes, I think, on every single wall that you could walk past too, because it allowed just wherever you were when
click
you got
here
your phone,
click here for 123
So it was it was great, you know, when we finally could breathe again about a week after the storm and looking back at just how successful it had been, how FB&L was grateful as to how it had helped them because they weren't sending crews to places that weren't ready or weren't able to be worked on. The debris hauler was able to share all their information because they're recording everything for FEMA down to the ounce and the cubic inch, you know. So they their data was already there and available. We were able to slide that right in. And when people called and asked when their street was going to be done, we had a plan built out with the hauler so we could answer those questions instead of saying when it happens. And so that the citizens liked that ability that we were able to respond to their questions, which makes the city manager happy, which makes council happy. So there was we're very proud of the response, proud of the guys and how they, just jumped right on it, proud of Todd because he made it happen.
They took it by the horns and ran with it. It was
a full team.
And now at this point, FEMA, so we're now able to report to FEMA because we have all that information in the geo database. We're just generating reports as FEMA asked for the reimbursement. Which is so much faster than it was.
Months ahead of what Irma was. Yeah. As far as our paperwork filed with FEMA 3-4 weeks after the storm, and it was months. It was like 5 months for Irma. So the time difference, just the
canal maintenance is about $56 million in damages.
Just the seawalls.
And then we got about 3,000 buildings that were. All types of buildings, not city facilities, obviously, but the city buildings were all pretty much hit hard. But the residences, the homes, the businesses, about 3,000 of those were damaged, and all that information. That's more. The building department went out and did those inspections things afterwards, using this tool as well. So they're. It's just like now that from that experience, they all needed tablets. They all want everything at their fingertips now instead of paper maps and paper work orders. So it's like it's snowballing now.
Another example. It's taken our building inspections into the field. They used to go out with a clipboard, fill everything out, have to drive back to the office, enter it in the computer. Now they take a tablet with them. They do the building inspection right in our software, and the building inspections are up to date. They don't have that paper anymore. They don't have that delay. They can do more inspections a day, and we're trying to get them. That's part of the growth now is trying to get them to the point where now they're routing. Doing route control on the inspectors, so instead of going here and then here and then here and then here, that they'll know that they've got their inspections can go this way, and they can just do them more efficiently as well. So those are some of the growth paths that we see coming off of this.
Does everyone out in the field need their own government-issued tablet and phone for security reasons, or can they put an app on their own phone?
You can, like, well, Fire, yeah, you can put it on your own phone, but okay. Its policy is, you know, if you're regularly using this, you're using a city device. Even though the data is all stored in the cloud anyway, but, you know, if we get a public records request,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay, well, we don't want somebody's personal phone to be pulled.
Right,
for that.
That's what I was wondering about. Because I think like a smaller town maybe doesn't have the resources.
Yeah, it's true.
Could.
It's true.
The fire
department, most of them didn't have, there's only each apparatus or each, you know, fire truck has a
tablet in it. Yeah.
And then the battalion chiefs have smartphones, but the individual firefighters didn't. But we were relying on individual firefighters to collect the information. And they volunteered to put it on their phones for the emergency.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, as we do our training this year, what came out of the training after action review is we don't want to put this on our phones.
That's
we want
that'd be the better
phones.
Way. If you're like telling some other place, that's the better way for
the better way to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not worth the convenience when you've got another
the, there's
hassle.
The
it
old,
does a few things.
It's,
putting it
yeah.
on the phones stops you from making the forms too complex.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to fall into the trap of, okay, I'm collecting this data, but, ooh, I'd like to have this data and this data and this data and this data and letting it creep into too much. So we've tried to stay very disciplined in our form creation,
mm-hmm.
that if you get into the subs, then it becomes a new form. And so by keeping
the same
relatively
form
on
the cell phone,
mm-hmm. it's easier to do on a phone.
And this is automatic. It picks up the GPS from the phone. This is, you select a photo.
Sure.
But the actual difference in cost, a phone, anywhere from, depending upon if Verizon's got a sale, $100 to $300 for a phone. Tablets are $700 to $1,000, depending if you want the smaller one or the bigger one, and then a $40 a month data plan on each. So there's not a huge amount of difference in cost in doing it on the tablets or the phones. It's just portability
for firefighters.
And
I guess
and
I meant
damage,
more like just for security that you don't want it on your private phones. So you tell another
policy
community,
it's
no
better not to.
That's just for you creating possible hassles later on. Down
yeah.
line.
The policy is no private phones. And the reality is the way the software is all licensed by SRI, you have an online account,
mm-hmm.
and you can download the applications like this app, Survey123. You can download it for free. You can't use it unless you have an online account. So we have the licenses, and we assign them to people. I mean, it worked well in some regards because it was completely independent of our other IT infrastructure. It's this device going to the ESRI cloud.
Okay.
Right. The data comes back down. So when
the
other infrastructure went down from the hurricane, like we lost power everywhere, we lost our server rooms for a while, we lost fiber when they were constructing something and they cut the fiber line after the hurricane. But anyway, the whole thing is it's another redundant system that was resilient in the storm. And now, like, the cell companies have these mobile deployment units that go out with all these portable towers. So when they do lose a tower, they got five more popping up like right after they can get back in. So it was a brief period of time when we lost Verizon, you know,
mm-hmm.
wireless, but it wasn't very long.
The other reason we didn't want to put it on personal phones was inevitably we knew that we would get to a point where if I'm working on my personal phone, then you should be paying for part of my personal phone. And we didn't want to get into that mess with everything. If it's a city function, it's been a city policy all along. If it's a city function, it's on a city device. And that way it allows us to track them. We know we get the device back from a person. So if a person's using a personal phone and they quit, now that department's lost a device, because if the person they hire doesn't have their personal smartphone, then what are we going to do? And so it was easier just to set a policy that if you're doing that, if you're using that, you're running it on the city phone. It just made it a lot cleaner and a lot easier to track.
So kind of our
asset management.
Our takeaway lessons learned on that is we got to get all the fire department the smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that's part of our budgeting and things now that everybody gets a smartphone.
That's great. So those are the kind of things I like to find out from people. Like, what are the things that you learned that if somebody else is trying to set this up, how can you save them the learning?
Learning
the
right,
process.
Right.
Any other things like that?
Sure. There's a few more.
I know obviously not everybody needs a hurricane, but everybody needs systems like these, right?
Yeah.
What are some things that you guys learned from the fire that you can pass along to people so that they're ready for the fire without having to.
Okay, yeah. That, okay, ounce of preparation is worth a ton of
yes.
Of whatever.
Anxiety.
Yeah, a ton of, because that having that hurricane drill beforehand made it. We encountered a bunch of issues during that training that we were able to resolve in the 2 weeks between when the training happened and when we. The biggest thing was that whole accounts. Okay, your username is your city email, not just your T Helt. It's T Helt at cityofpuntagordafl.com. You know, and that kind of thing where they were logging. I can't log in. Oh man,
making it something easy for them to remember, right? Because that was the thing that.
Getting
anytime we're giving user IDs out, that's one of the things we worry about most is people remembering user IDs and passwords.
Yeah.
So we really helped them through that piece. But yeah, the tabletop exercise was huge. It is a be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter whether you're tornadoes, wildfires, floods, hurricanes, whatever it might be, is the importance of knowing. Because once you're in the fire, the crisis, you really don't have the time to try and figure out what you want to do. So we hadn't done it, but we had figured out what we wanted to do. So when it hit, we were able to build the elementary pieces to that and then grow on it as we could. So that was definitely a lesson learned, and so it's helped us gain just change management, project management of IT type projects, explaining to them why it's important to have a clear picture of what it is you want to do, rather than letting something scope creep a project to death to where you never end, it never finishes, because of you never know when it's going to be part of a crisis response. Everything we do, in some ways. So our communications with users, that open communication helped us a lot. There wasn't a battle between IT. A lot of times IT and other departments kind of bump heads a little bit because we never let them do what they want to do.
For security.
Being prepped for this and our open communication with our departments was a huge help. So it's IT needs to be aware of the business of the other departments. They need to know how they function, who the key players are, and how they approach data and how they approach crisis.
Right.
So getting together and working through that is a huge plus.
Another one is the picture's worth 1,000 words.
Yes.
Two pictures are worth 2,000.
So 10,
just like
words,
just like
yeah.
the data, kind of like the data tricks, mm-hmm. like these surveys, you require that they fill out certain things, and you don't let them finish a survey without it, like a photo.
Right.
The photo is required, and you really want them to get multiple photos of the same thing in different angles, because somebody back there analyzing the information later is going to want to look at something else that they weren't thinking about. You know, they're thinking about tree down on road. Okay, well, let's just go over here and look at that. See that roof is laying on the ground right beside the house, right beside the tree on the road.
Yeah,
let's get that one too. And so. Or like sidewalks. Hey, look, the sidewalk's broken.
Situational awareness.
But FEMA
yeah,
wants
huge.
To know, well, what tree uprooted that sidewalk? Show me the context. So you can't just take the photo of the sidewalk broken. Because they go, well, how do we know it wasn't broken before?
Yeah.
They want the context photo. You know, something really simple like that.
How do you train somebody on that, though? Because then at one point, isn't you're getting just some of the other just taking crazy pictures like a tourist.
Well, yeah, you don't want to get too crazy, but a couple, an oblique kind
of a
context and a detail.
Well, okay. But it's also starting to realize that when you approach a scene, how many different issues there are in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it slows you down to say, okay, you have to assess and say, down tree. Picture, down tree, submit. Oh, power line down, picture, submit. You broke it into those pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But by knowing that by breaking it into those pieces, doing those pieces, somebody else isn't going to have to come behind you and do it again. And it makes, I think it helped them be more thorough in their response as well. Because a down line needs a different approach than a tree. A tree's going to need heavy equipment. Down line is going to need FBNL to be called. And they couldn't just come in and do a video of the whole corner and then move on because there's too much to assess. So it breaks that assessment down into better pieces that you can then respond to.
Another lesson learned, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Less is more. So keep it simple and keep this, this for this, like, so for example, counties and other, county had like 7 different surveys,
mm-hmm.
these forms for each, like, okay, we got the surveys for the public works. We got the surveys for fire. We got the surveys for, the planning department. We got surveys. That's too much. It's too more.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be less. So like the survey, this is called the first in team survey.
Gotcha.
So even though it goes into buildings and things like that, there's no details. It's just those 6 questions.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that first in team mission's complete, which in this case it was weeks, it was, you know, it wasn't like, okay, we're done, we're ready to go, you know, 2 days we're up and running. No, we had 2 weeks of no power anywhere, pretty much. So, and no, and water outages and all that stuff. So it was like 2 weeks of fit. And then after the fit, then when Right Away comes back, the rest of the team, the city staff comes back, they get their own very detailed survey that's very specific to their assets.
Source data to go out and
so they're
building from what you guys
are building from what we are. Yeah, so that was the first.
So they're not redoing it, but they're expanding what they need. Not that everything needs to expand.
Exactly.
The first in team's job is accessibility, like we said, accessibility and immediate
life safety.
So once that's taken care of, and then they know that. So they
everything
know
else
the
they did was icing
taking,
on the cake. It was just like, oh, we got some.
Yeah, the pictures
good,
they're
we
taking are for the
too.
Next group coming in.
Gotcha.
So we train them to make sure that you're taking pictures of what each group is going to need, not just what's important.
But that's not going to be everything those later groups need, but they'll
but it'll be
those
it's the surface of it.
Right.
It gives them the point on the map that they need to go and respond to in wave 2 and wave 3.
So that they're not repeating everything.
So that they're not repeating everything.
Or they'll look at the photo and go, that's not enough damage for us to worry about.
And that's the other thing, right?
You know,
it allows
so
them
the
to
photo
assess
would tell them, you know,
and prioritize.
And even though it's, say, like severe, minor, or whatever, they might, you know, the building department will look at a photo of a structural damage and say, no, that is major. That's a roof structure. That's integrity of the building. Where somebody, the firefighter might go, well, the building's still there. There's looks like the roof's coming off a little bit, but it's not quite. You know, we're not even going to bother going into that one.
Did we give council access to that?
Yeah.
So that's another point.
Yeah.
That's so
the
lesson
share,
that we
share
did,
it with
but
leadership.
It's another is emphasizing to leadership to use this as well. That the message is going to be the same if they talk to the fire chief, if they talk to the city manager, if they talk to a council member, because they're all drawing it from the same place. You don't get hysterical messages or messages out of context because everybody's confident in where they got their information and what they're sharing. So
best available
that's another
information.
Thing to,
that's all
to
it's best
bring
available.
Everybody in on this, the information so that everybody's using the same information for whatever purpose.